Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, sitting in for Doug Wortham. We'll be back next week, and on today's show, we're going to discuss the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, the Commander's Task Force, and the upcoming Veterans Day on the Hill. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
In the National Guard, we place a high value on physical fitness. Just as important as our physical well-being is our mental well-being. I want to bring attention to the concept of resiliency and what it means for our soldiers and airmen. Resiliency is about our ability to adjust to and recover from adversity. While serving in the National Guard, we juggle many responsibilities, from family commitments to our civilian careers, all while fulfilling our commitment to our nation's defense. At times, we can feel overwhelmed. It is a natural response to our fast-paced lives. If you are experiencing difficulties maintaining this balance, I want you to know that help is available and that asking for help is a sign of strength. Our psychological health coordinators offer confidential assistance. You can call them 24 hours a day at 651-282-4029. That's 651-282-4029.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I said at the opening, we're going to spend some time with the DAV of Minnesota and talk about the CTF, Commander's Task Force, and focus in on Veterans Day on the Hill. And my special guest today is Trent Dilks. He is the Legislative Director for the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota for almost a decade and also serves on the DAV National Legislative Committee. And Trent is a two-tour Iraqi Freedom Veteran. Trent, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be back, and I appreciate the opportunity.
You know, I mentioned that two tours in Iraq. I understand you know how to operate a machine gun.
You know, I am pretty familiar with them. I spent my first tour behind the old Modus, the 50 cal, and the Mark 19 fully automatic grenade launcher, and they're like old friends to me.
And while you were over there, you got yourself blown up.
Yeah, a little bit blown up. Not a whole lot, but a little bit blown up.
But you look like you're in one piece.
Yep, still making my way.
And you've spent a lot of time working on legislative issues here in Minnesota and out at National, out at Washington, D.C. as well.
Yeah, so it's actually over a decade now here in Minnesota. And then for the last 4 years, the National Commander, 5 years, various National Commanders of the organization have been fortunate enough to be selected as one of the four in the country to work on those issues as well.
And you've got a special relationship there between Minnesota and National because a few years back during the COVID, your adjutant was a National Commander, and he had to do it for 2 years in a row because you couldn't have a national convention.
Yeah, yep, Stephen Whitehead, Butch Whitehead, 2 years as the National Commander. I thought it might be a full-term power struggle, but he did relinquish it after the second year, so we're all very happy.
And when he was out there, it was happened to have been the 100th anniversary of the DAV on a national basis. But this is a special year, 1925, for DAV in Minnesota.
Yeah, we're coming up. We're celebrating our 100th year. We'll be out at Treasure Island here in April. And we're going to celebrate turning 100 years serving our fellow veterans, their families, and survivors.
It's a long time, and you've been a big part of it. I hope that we can continue that for quite some time.
Yeah, looking forward to the next 100 years. And I think it's a great reflection point. You know, as we look back, a lot of our conversations have been about going forward. How do you make sure for the next 100 years we're serving veterans properly?
And the DAV of Minnesota is one of the busiest veteran service organizations around. Can you give us a quick rundown? You handle these vans to get our veterans to their medical. You've got some food things you do. You've got a clothing drive. You've got all kinds of things going on.
Yeah, we're doing a lot. And our big one, I think a lot of people know us for our transportation. Mr. Ford borrowed the DAV some Model Ts for our first national convention, and we've been rolling around with veterans ever since. So here in Minnesota, that looks like 38-39 vehicles spread across the state, driven by volunteer drivers and absolutely free, providing transportation to medical, mental health, and important appointments for Minnesota's veterans.
And any of our listeners who want to volunteer to drive, just go to davmn.org. Put your name in there. You can drive one day a month. You can drive several days if you want. But we need those volunteer drivers.
We need those volunteer drivers so bad. You know, when I started with the DAV, I was working with the volunteer program. And some of my best days where when we didn't have enough drivers, I had to go out there and drive, and getting some of those veterans in, hearing their stories, experiencing that and giving back in that way. We need them, and we really could use some more. So please go and check it out.
We're speaking with Trent Dilks, the Legislative Director for Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, on Minnesota Military Radio. Trent, we can't skip by the mission without talking about one of the things you like to do is get our disabled veterans outside, hunting, fishing, all those things.
Yeah, hunting, fishing, I'm really excited. So in previous years, I'd been able to bring veterans out to Glacier National Park and Olympic National Park. That has expanded and grown. They're bringing a group down to the Grand Canyon. Go and explore and hike the Grand Canyon. They're headed down to Florida for kind of a midwinter break here. So it's not just hunting and fishing. There are a lot of opportunities, sea kayaking out to the Apostle Islands. But if it's hunting and fishing that you like, you know, houseboats up on Rainy Lake, just all sorts of opportunities.
Camp Ripley hunting.
Camp Ripley.
Once again, go to davmn.org and you can find out all of the great events going on and apply for them. Trent, we talked about you just came back from National out in Washington, D.C. Are there some national – you work closely with National. Are there some federal issues we should talk about?
Yeah, I did. And we actually brought 30 Minnesota disabled veterans out there with me. We met with our elected officials. And I think everybody who's paying attention right now knows there's a lot going on federally with veterans, and there's a lot being talked about. And what I'd really like to bring back, I met with everybody I could. I met with key lawmakers, staff. I sat in a joint session of the House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. And the primary mission or primary message I'd like to bring back is we have to calm down and just look for the right information, make sure we're getting things correct, and not spread panic.
Don't get too excited. Let's let it play out. And I'm sure you saw our special friend Tom Emmer.
Yeah, I did. I got a chance to majority whip, really nice office there. And that was the thing. We're worried, you know, when you see that, you know, VA is laying off people and things like that. But it's important to get the information right and only act on the things that we can, you know, be solid on, because everybody's willing to help us. This is not a partisan thing. Both parties, if something goes wrong, they're ready to step in, but we need that information.
We hear from our elected officials every year. They're trying to do whatever they can do to help our veterans and to support the Minnesota National Guard.
Yeah, yep, and that hasn't changed. There's worry that it's moving so quickly at the federal level, and that's what we're looking out for. If you do find out something, you can go to davmn.org. If you're seeing a change that you don't like or you're worried about something, reach out to us. But let's make sure we get our information from reliable sources, from service organizations, from places that are going to get it right.
Trent, we only got a couple of minutes left in this segment, but I wanted to bring up the Commander's Task Force, which here in Minnesota is made up of the DAV, American Legion, VFW, AMVETS, Marine Corps League, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Paralyzed Veterans of America, and Jewish War Veterans. And that's a group that the DAV belongs to, and you get together with all those commanders, and one of the things you work on over there is your legislative agenda for an event that's coming up called Veterans Day on the Hill.
Yeah. You know, we set a unified veterans agenda amongst those organizations. And Bob Detmer, who used to be in the House, he was a big fan of speaking in one voice, right? When we all go up and we split our voices, we weaken our message. And so we're really lucky, and Minnesota's veterans are very fortunate that we have a commander's task force, and it really amplifies the one voice concept.
And you get the opportunity to combine the membership from all of those organizations and go up there, and when you're talking to the legislature, they know that as a commander's task force, you're speaking as one voice, as you said.
Yeah, you know, we're speaking for, I think it's over 200,000 combined, the membership numbers. It's just, we've got a large voice. We've got a large representation, and it carries a lot more weight, and it's very important to that we're able to do that.
And one of the benefits of that the last few years is we've been able to have a veterans-only omnibus bill.
Yeah, yeah. We changed that, I believe, 3 years ago. We got the first one ever. If you remember that session, nothing was going to happen. We're at a stalemate. Things were real bad, and we made a late call for it. First they said no, then they said maybe, and at the end of the day we got it passed, and now we've gotten three passed.
And the benefit of that is all of those elected officials get to vote on veterans issues without any other issues attached, and the votes have been almost unanimous every year.
Almost unanimous, clear, accountable. It's what we dreamed of, and, you know, it really has worked out well, and we look forward to keeping that and expanding what's included in it veteran-wise so we can know where you vote on veterans, not just what you talk about.
Trent, we're going to talk about that more. We have to take a short break now. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking with Trent Dilks, who's Legislative Director for the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, has been for about a decade. He's an Iraqi Freedom Tour veteran, got himself blown up, but he looks pretty good today. And before we went to break, Trent, we were talking about the Commander's Task Force, made up of those eight federally authorized veteran service organizations that come together whenever. Every summer, it seems like, you get new commanders, and they come together and you have some training, and then they get together monthly and work on legislative items, and that all culminates in an event called Veterans Day on the Hill, which is coming up on April 9th.
Yeah, that's kind of a focus point, but the policy work, everything, you know, every organization brings in a new commander once a year, so it starts back in September at Camp Ripley, where we have a summit where we start to the groundwork that really becomes the legislative agenda and later becomes the focal point of Veterans Day on the Hill.
And a big part of what you work on all year long is to try to get our veterans to be able to communicate with their elected officials, not just on Veterans Day on the Hill, but all year long. And you do that because you put together something called MinFluence, MinFluence, MinFluence. What is that?
MinFluence. Isn't that a great name? That took a long time to come up with. So it is a way to put not just veterans, anybody, family supporters, anybody can use MinFluence. It puts them in direct contact with their state level lawmakers. I just started a campaign on MinFluence. It just went live. It'll be live into next week, so after this show airs. And it is an opportunity to send a message that says we want to see these things done for our veterans. It goes right to your lawmaker. It can take as little as 30 seconds to do, or you can add your own message. And then it really helps magnify that voice we were talking about.
So for our listeners, if you want to do this, you go to MinFluence, M-I-N-N, MinFluence, and you put in, I think you put in your zip code. I haven't done this for a while. And then it'll show you your elected officials. And then if you want to send them a message, you type in your message and you hit go.
Well, even better, right now I have a pre-written message in there. So if you click take action after you go to, you can go to davmn.org or minfluence.org. But you can go to davmn.org under advocacy, MinFluence. I've written a message. It says XYZ, we want to see done. We want to see it done for veterans, their survivors, and their families. And you can click send, or you can add your own message on top of that.
And if our listeners want to try it out, one thing they can do is they can go in there and they can urge their elected officials to have the fourth annual Veterans Omnibus Bill. What's that about and why?
Yeah, Veterans Omnibus Bill. So what the history of veterans legislation in Minnesota was murky. You know, I'd been operating in this environment for 7 years before we got the first one. And people would always ask me, well, how did my lawmaker vote on veterans? And I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you because we'd be wrapped up into health and human services or education bill or public safety bill. Veterans, you know, issues would be stuck here, there, everywhere. And nobody was clearly voting on veterans. They'd be in these highly partisan bills. It didn't matter which party was in power. It was just a mess.
So they just tacked on the veterans issues to other issues. And if you're lucky enough to get on one that passed, fine. But if you weren't, no go.
Yeah, even worse, sometimes we'd be used as a way to embarrass your opponent. So they'd put us on a bill they knew wouldn't pass, and then they go, look at Representative so-and-so, they vote against veterans.
But since they've done this veterans-only omnibus bill, they've been passing almost unanimously.
Nearly unanimously. And when they don't pass unanimously, the lawmakers reach out and give a very specific reason. You know, they it's not that they didn't support it. It's that they wanted the funding to be shifted instead of to this veteran's priority to another extremely important one. So, you know, we've never had any hard feelings about the couple of votes. I think three votes against the veterans omnibus bills because they were in the right place. But they did, because they knew we were paying attention, they reached out before they voted no.
And part of that's communications, and part of it's showing up in mass on Veterans Day on the Hill and talking to them. And you've had some real good luck the last few years. We're talking with Trent Dilks, Legislative Director for the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Trent, last year, I think you came really, really close to passing what you were after, which was to modernize the disabled veterans market value exclusion. But at the last minute, it didn't quite make it.
It survived the House floor, one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. At first, the House majority was against it. They actually changed opinions on the floor, voted in favor of it. But if anybody remembers the last events, the end of last session, it got messy, right? It went down to the last minute.
It always does. It always does.
I think I watched the Timberwolves lose a heartbreaker in the playoffs, and then I watched veterans lose in the very last conference committee meeting of the session. Like, they were back-to-back. Just, that was a tough night.
So there currently exists a disabled veterans market value exclusion on their homestead, but it hasn't been updated in a long, long time.
16 or 17 years. And what has happened to home values in the last 16 or 17 years? What has happened to property tax values? What hasn't happened is veterans' benefits haven't kept up. They've been sub-inflation. The way that they mark those does not keep up. Survivors see a 59% reduction in what they get when their veteran passes away. I mean, it's tragic. And then we have not been able to increase the amount of that exclusion in this long. So it's eroding the benefit, and that is not acceptable.
So what are we trying to do this year?
We're going to update it. We want it up to $400,000 for 100% permanent total. We want it up
from 300.
From 300. And we want it up to 200,000 for 70 to 100, up from 150. We would like to fix it to inflation. There's a lot of people against that. But we would like to fix it so we don't have to come back in 5 years.
So it automatically goes up a little
bit. Automatically goes up. And it's actually inflation that has to do with local property tax rates. This was an idea that had been floated last year. If they don't do it, then we have to fight them every 3 to 5 years, or else it becomes a lesson in an eroded benefit.
And, Trent, there's a second part of this, because in the old days, up till just, I think, a couple, 3 years ago, if the veteran died, the surviving spouse had trouble continuing that exclusion. I think we got that fixed, but that's part of what we're talking about today, too, isn't it?
Yeah, we got that. That took me 5 years. I was the lead push on that. 5 years to get rid of that 8-year limit. You used to have surviving spouses, mostly widows, that 8 years after their veteran passed away, many from Agent Orange-related illnesses, would get slapped with a property tax bill they couldn't afford after seeing a 59% reduction in the benefits. We got rid of that. Now we're trying to get rid of, there's this equal or lesser value clause. We're just trying to get rid of that. It is the surviving. Our surviving spouses have earned a benefit, not a continuation of their veterans. They are caretakers. They are important. They have earned it. Let's just make that clear.
Surviving spouses don't get a raise when their veteran dies, and costs are going up and everything's there. What about if they want to downsize, sell the mansion and buy a smaller place that they can afford? Well, does this carry over?
And that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to, right now it says equal or lesser value. What we're finding is it's been the family home for 30, 40, 50 years. It doesn't reflect the actual market value of it. As soon as it goes on the market, what happens when you buy a new home? The county goes, ooh, we saw the sales price, and they rack that up. They're going to buy a patio home, and patio homes are brand new builds. They have a very high market value, and we're seeing surviving spouses that can't put large family homes back on the market because they'll lose their exclusion. So we're trying to fix that.
And it's a little tough right now because the interest rates are up there. And of course, if you want to sell, you can sell, but the prices are depressed a little bit because they're paying more interest.
Yep.
So you're trying to take care of the spouses when the veteran dies. And of course, we need to remark that exclusion, give them a little allowance for things to have appreciated over the last 16 years.
This isn't even to the inflation. The buying power, when they set it at 300, I was just at a hearing. If you had $300,000 then, you'd have to have $454,000 today. So this doesn't even keep up with inflation. We're just trying to make sure that it doesn't erode too far.
Not to mention the assessments from the county and the city and all of those things, school districts, everything going up every year. It seems like they all go up every year.
Every year. And, you know, I did the math on this. I actually looked at all 87 counties, and we are talking about 0.25 to 0.46 1% of the market value in any given county that's being excluded. Not even 1%, a fraction of 1%. So the idea that this is too expensive or creates too big of a shift is a myth. We can take care of veterans and their surviving spouses.
It's a long past time to take care of this, and I hope we get this done. And you're going to talk to them about it on Veterans Day on the Hill, April 9th, 2025. We're going to talk about that more. We have to take a short break, and we come back. We'll talk to Trent Dilks, Legislative Director of the DAV, a little bit more about Veterans Day on the Hill and all the legislative priorities. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, sitting in for Doug Wortham. We'll be back next week, and we've been talking to Trent Dilks, Legislative Director for DAV in Minnesota, and we're going to talk to him some more about the CTF and Veterans Day on the Hill. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Brad Lindsay.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs strives to make the process of applying for earned benefits as easy as possible for veterans. Claims and field operations representatives work one-on-one with veterans to understand their needs and connect them with the right benefits. On behalf of veterans, claims team members review, submit, and monitor claims for federal benefits. In fiscal year 2024, our team secured $4 billion in overall compensation for Minnesota veterans and their survivors and worked over 21,000 claims. To learn more about claims and field operations, visit minnesotaveteran.org or call 1-888-LINKVET.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. So, Trent, we've been talking about the Minnesota Commander's Task Force 2025 legislative priorities, and, of course, the first order of business is to get that veterans-only omnibus bill, which is something we want to stay on because it allows you to get some things done where otherwise you might not. And the second thing was to modernize the disabled veterans market value exclusion, looking out for the veterans and also for their surviving spouses. But we also want to talk about, we're going to have our partner in a lot of this, the County Veteran Service Officer, join us in segment four. And what we've said on this show many times is if a service member, of a veteran, had a medical issue of some kind from the time they were in service, they should start the claims process by visiting with their County Veteran Service Officer, because the County Veteran Service Officers can help them start that process and get them in touch with veteran service organization like DAV to help document that claim and get it moving. Is that the process?
That should be the process. That's a great way to start. Start with the free services of the County Veteran Service Officer and the Veteran Service Organizations, DAV, American Legion, VFW. DAV is the best, but the other ones do pretty good too.
You're not opinionated on
no,
that.
No.
But the primary thing is there's at least one County Veteran Service Officer in every county in Minnesota, and you can go to any county to get started. They're there to help you, and then they can get you in touch with DAV or MDVA, some other people, to help you document and process that claim. The alternative is something that we call claim sharks.
Claim sharks.
What's that about?
Oh, so these I get pretty fired up about this one, too. Veterans have earned these benefits. There are free County Veteran Service Officers, VSOs. There are a lot of avenues to make sure they get the benefits they've earned. Claim sharks will come in, and they will charge sometimes astronomical prices. We've heard of up to 40%, 40% of the benefits that this veteran has earned taken away by a claim shark who's not accredited, who gets veterans who are desperate to sign contracts, oftentimes does not do the same quality of work as you could see from a County Veteran Service Officer or one of the VSOs, and then you lose 40% of your benefits. It's already against federal law, but it has no teeth.
Well, let's talk about CVSOs a little more here,
yeah,
because they're full-time people. They're trained to know where all the resources are. They're trained in how to file these claims, and they can get you to an advocate that can help you with this, and it's all free.
And they're accredited. And they're accredited, right? So they're trained, they're accredited, they have the connections, they do it for free. There is absolutely no reason. We've heard of veterans tricked into giving away percentages of their benefits for the rest of their life, where they sign a contract where their benefits basically go through a shark and they get what's left over after the shark takes it. This is just, it's bad stuff.
folks, he's getting a little fired up. We're talking to Trent Dilks, Legislative Director for Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. And so, Trent, one of your legislative priorities for the Commander's Task Force is a Minnesota Claim Shark Bill. What's that asking for?
We got to stop them. It asks for accreditation of those who are going to, and they must comply. So federal law does allow for this. You can hire an attorney, but they're supposed to be restricted to 20% after they sign on. Not 20% you've had a claim that's been waiting 4 years. Not 20% from 4 years ago when they did nothing. 20% from the point they sign on and they move forward, and accreditation. If you're going to sign on with one of these, you should at least be able to make sure that they're accredited.
You know, and I've got to add here from my personal experience, I had filed a couple of claims and they were in the process and people were handling it, didn't get it done. And I talked to Butch Whitehead, your adjutant, and he said, we'll take care of that. And I signed up with the DAV, and your national people and your local people got on it, and they got things done. They knew how to advocate for me and how to get those things finished. And that's a very important piece.
And we didn't charge a penny. We'll never charge a penny. The veteran keeps every bit of it. So we got to stop these things. These are the veteran's benefits. And it just, I don't know, it's insane to me, but we're having a real fight about it over at the Capitol. The sharks are flying in on their jets.
They're losing money.
They're spending money. If you want to follow it, they're spending money on lobbyists. They're worried that they're not going to be able to prey on Minnesota's veterans if we get this passed. So it's a big deal, and we need to protect our veterans.
We need to work on that. So any of our listeners, if you've got an issue, talk to your county veteran service officer. Get a hold of davmn.org and don't pay for somebody to do what you can get done better without them.
Yeah, and you know, people, they'll use the line choices. I know we'll let this one go, but they use the line choices. There are over 300 accredited service agents in Minnesota and over 50 accredited lawyers. If you feel like you need to hire a lawyer, they're out there. They're accredited. You can go on va.gov, and you can look for accreditation. So there are some who are doing it right, but not the sharks.
All right, we got to get you to settle down
now. Yeah, so, I'll calm down here.
We're going to another priority. You're asking for some help with hunting, fishing, and trapping licenses for veterans.
Yeah. We would like to see it reduced down to a $5 fee for those 50% or greater. We look around the country. We see a lot of other states do this. It's a way to just show your appreciation and your thankfulness and gratitude. We've worked with the DNR. It's in their budget request. We've worked with the governor's office. He's put it in his budget request. I think we got a real chance of doing it. 40,000 disabled veterans. If we can get this passed, 40,000 disabled veterans in Minnesota will be eligible for this, and it'll be a great way for Minnesota to say thank you for your service, thank you for your sacrifice, and to get veterans outdoors. They need it.
We know how important it is to get them out. Get them out hunting, fishing, just get them out in the fresh air.
Get them outside, get them hunting, get them fishing. Let's take away that barrier and show our appreciation. I'm excited for this one. It's been on the CTF agenda for 11 years, and I think we got a real shot if we can make the push this year.
All right, now we're going to talk to our county veteran service officer in the next segment, but we just got a couple minutes left. Food insecurity has become a hot issue, not only just lately and here in Minnesota, but federally. They're losing federal money, state money, local money to help with that. And we've got over 300,000 veterans in Minnesota, and I'm told somewhere between 12 and 14% of them experience some food insecurity, which could just mean they run out of money before they run out of month, and that last week of the month they don't have much to eat, or what they're eating isn't very good. What can you tell us about that?
You know, we're trying to address it. The way that I do that is with the legislation. Food insecurity, when Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs put out a survey, it came back the number one issue for veterans in Minnesota. They thought it might be transportation, health care, any of that stuff, but by far the number one response was veterans in Minnesota are worried about not having enough food.
Well, and here's an update for our listeners. The Minneapolis VA healthcare system has set up a pop-up food pantry. One day a month, the veterans can come out and just say, I'm a veteran and I need food, and they get a box of food. And they've been doing it for about a year, and it's building bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm told that when it was 14 below a couple of weeks ago, 200 veterans showed up to get some food. The feds came out at federal VA and said, go ahead and do this across the country, but they didn't give them any money to pay for the food. So here we go again. We found out about this on this show about a year ago, and so we formed a new organization called MN, Minnesota Veterans Pantry. And Minnesota Veterans Pantry is fundraising to pay for the food products that the Minneapolis VA is handing out, and we're off to a great start. But if you feel at least bit inclined to help, you can go to mnvp.org. If you put in $25 a month, you can help two families for a year. We just need to get as many people in Minnesota as possible to donate here so that the Minneapolis VA healthcare system can make sure there's no veteran in Minnesota that goes to bed hungry.
And what a great way to do it. Veterans are used to coming to the VA. You know, we're proud. But the idea that pride can get in the way of keeping the veteran, their spouse, their families fed is just devastating. So I think it's a wonderful way. We're trying to get some funding from the legislature that could go towards initiatives like that to make sure no veteran goes to bed hungry.
And right now there's the food insecurity, one of your priorities. They're looking for about $500,000 worth of funding that could be used in several ways, but it's all about taking care of veterans and making sure they have enough food to eat.
We got to take care of them, and we got to find ways to do it, not just for veterans, but here's veterans specifically, that allows them to know we're here to give you a hand up. We'll connect you with other benefits, other resources. We'll make sure you get the things you've earned. This is not begging. This is not, you know, anything to be ashamed of. Let's make sure basic needs are taken care of, and then we can move on and take care of the other stuff.
For our listeners, check out the website at mnvp.org. Trent, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Tom Anderson from the County Veteran Service Officers. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Trent Dilks, who's the Legislative Director for the DAV of Minnesota. Trent, we got a special guest joining us, and we've talked about how all the veteran service organizations partner with the county veteran service officers for claims to take care of our veterans. And, of course, county veteran service officers are trained to know all of the resources available to help ours. And we're joined now by Tom Anderson, who is the Winona County Veteran Service Officer. And he's also the vice president for the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and he served in the Navy. Tom, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom and Trent, thank you very much for having me on.
Tom, how's everything going out in Winona County?
Oh, we're keeping busy down here, that's for darn sure, but it's going really well. The river's looking beautiful. We're going to start to see some green on the bluffs down here sometime pretty soon, I'm sure, and getting ready to enjoy the rest of what should be a beautiful spring.
Well, a good time for you to meet with all your veterans out there and make sure you've taken care of them. And, Tom, we've been talking about the Commander's Task Force and their legislative priorities for this year. Trent and I have gone over that in detail. And we've talked a lot about our veterans. If they have a medical issue related to their time in service, they should start going at or finding out about that with their county veteran service officer, because you guys are trained to know what to do.
Absolutely. That's the bread and butter of what we do, is helping veterans make sure they get connected to the benefits that they've earned from their service and the resources that are available out in our communities. And if veterans have questions about any medical issues that they're dealing with that might be service-connected, highly recommend that they reach out to their VSO and we can do a full screening, help explain the process. And if we've got all the pieces we need, we'll help them get all the paperwork they need submitted so that their claim can be processed as quickly as the VA will allow. And if we don't have everything we need right away, we can still take steps to make sure that we maximize any potential benefit by establishing a data claim without a whole lot of other information needed other than proof of service.
Very good, sir. And we've been pointing the whole show today towards an event coming up this year on April 9th, Veterans Day on the Hill over at the Capitol. And that's where we want to get as many veterans as possible throughout the state to come to St. Paul that day and meet with their legislators and march up to the rotunda and talk to the governor and everybody else over there about making sure they take care of our veterans.
Absolutely. It's always a great event. This will be my third or fourth year going to this. Trent and the team at DAV do a fantastic job putting together a concise but powerful message every year. The attendance has been doing nothing but grow. Last year was barely room for everybody to sit at the kind of pre-meeting over at the Veterans Building.
Well, let's get overflow this year, Tom.
Oh, I'm sure we are going to keep packing the rotunda, all three levels, and make some noise in there, make sure our voices are heard.
So that's April 9th, 2025. We're going to get into the details in a minute. But, Trent, the DAV of Minnesota has some assistance to get buses together to get these veterans up here.
Yeah, you know, and it's not just buses. If there's communities who are just starting out organizing and maybe need a van, you know, a 12-passenger or something to get a smaller group up, we're able to fund 50%. So buses are wonderful. I've already found out about, I believe we're at 12 now, coming all across the state. One out of Rochester there, down in that kind of region. And we pay 50% of it. The only stipulation is you cannot charge for the ride. That's it. We don't charge for services. We consider this part of the services. So as long as the local community organization, whoever it is, agrees to make the ride free for everybody who wants to come and have their voices heard, we'll pay half.
So veterans, get your group together at your local VFW or American Legion. Get a hold of Trent at trent@davmn.org. And he'll help you pay for half of the cost of that van or bus, whatever it is you need, and get up to St. Paul on April 9th, 2025. Trent will be happy to take care of you. Trent, we better get into the details of this. What happens that day? How does this day unfold?
Oh, it's amazing. If you haven't attended, you have to. Just to let you know, we are changing the seating a little bit, so we will have even more room. We were standing room only last year at over 1,000 veterans from across the state. It was amazing. But it's going to open up 10 a.m. right there at the Cedar Street Armory. Come on in. We'll have a little coffee, pastry as people filter in. And then we're hoping that you'll go meet with your lawmakers. We'll have a shuttle bus that's set up that can bring you over to the state Senate building. The state House of Representatives, they're actually right in the Centennial, right next door to the Armory. Set up your meetings, go see your lawmakers, then come back. We're going to have a presentation. We've got an amazing MC lined up this year, Tom Lyons. He's got a little bit of experience, so I think it's going to go well. And then we're going to just kind of do the pre-rally, get some information, and then we march on to the rotunda.
So an important thing there, you said, was to get your appointments with your elected officials early, and I'm guessing they can use Minfluence, M-I-N-N-Fluence, to contact them and ask for a meeting that day.
They can pull up their phone numbers, their email addresses. You can get all the information you need from that Minfluence. Set up those appointments. We're going to do a box lunch this year, so you can even offer to bring them a box lunch, or they can come over to the Armory. Have your lawmakers. If you got 20 from a district, let the lawmaker know, hey, we're going to be in this thing for 3 hours. We expect you to make 15 minutes to come over and see 20 of your constituents and veterans.
So Veterans Day on the Hill, 2025, April 9th, 2025. Doors open at the Cedar Street Armory at 10 o'clock for coffee, lunch provided, presentation at noon. And then we have a veterans march over the rally up to the rotunda. That's always a fun thing to take part in and see, isn't it?
If you haven't heard 1,000 veterans' voices echo throughout the rotunda of our state capitol, it shakes the walls. Yeah, I have been doing this for a decade. It still gives me goosebumps every time I hear it. It is absolutely amazing. It's an experience. Hear those veterans just shake the walls of our house, of our capitol.
And if you can't make it early to the Cedar Street Armory, you can rally at the rotunda. It's going to be from 1:30 to 2:30. And Tom, I'm going to take care of the festivities over at Cedar Street, but you're going to MC when we get to the rotunda.
Yes, sir. I'll be stepping up and representing the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Services Officer, and I'm honored to have the chance to MC the event and help introduce all of our great speakers, lawmakers, and other elected officials who are there to help make a difference for our veterans and really kind of put the focus on all of the hard work that our friends at the DAV and the rest of the Commander's Task Force have been doing all year to make sure that our lawmakers are getting ready to pass a clean veterans omnibus bill for us again this year and to help meet the needs that our veteran community has.
So, Trent, I'm guessing when our listeners go use Minfluence, M-I-N-N-Fluence, to ask for those meetings with their legislators, they might want to comment on, we're certainly looking forward to a clean veterans omnibus bill, and I'd like to see you at the Capitol on Veterans Day on the Hill.
Yes, clean veterans omnibus bill. Come to the Capitol. Come hear the rally. I usually give a pretty fiery welcome remarks there in the rotunda where we raise our voices, and those who haven't come out of their offices get to hear that the veterans are back.
We just got to make sure you use your clean radio voice and words. I understand it got a little blue up there last year.
You know, every once in a while I slip in a tactical word here or there.
That's
just
the
to make
machine
sure
gunner coming out of you.
Yep, yep.
Watch out, Tom. He was a machine gunner. So
I'm a sailor, so we might be in trouble, but I'll do my best to behave.
Well, I'll try to I was Air Force, so I'll try to calm you guys down. So once again, Veterans Day on the Hill, April 9th, 2025. Doors open at Cedar Street Armory, 10 a.m. for coffee, lunch provided, presentation at noon. Then we march up to the hill. It isn't like we marched 20 or 30 or 50 years ago, but we wander up there and fill up that rotunda and do a few ooh-ahs and make some noise. And if you can only make the rally of the rotunda, that's at 1:30. Trent, we just got about a minute and a half left. And final thoughts?
Yeah, it's an amazing day to be a part of. It's important. It's key to our work. But it's also an amazing day to join your fellow veterans, their family members. You know, the Pledge of Allegiance in the rotunda, the chance to mingle with veterans from all across the state who are dedicated to this. They're getting up at 3, 4 in the morning coming here. And then that march up to the Capitol itself. You get to the top of the steps, you look back, you see over 1,000 veterans making their way across there, you know, the color guard in front. And to be a part of that, it's what we were when we were in the service, and we can continue to do that and continue to feel that camaraderie in this way. And I just hope April 9th, I hope I'm lying to a fire marshal somewhere about how many people we got in that building.
Tom, thanks for joining us. But for our veterans, after the march, you fill up that rotunda, several floors of it, make some noise, and then here comes the governor and some of our legislators, elected officials, and that's got to be pretty impressive for them too, right, Trent?
It is. It is. It shows them that we're here, we're showing up, and we're paying attention, and we got power.
Gentlemen, thank you for joining us today, and we hope to see all of our listeners on April 9th for Veterans Day on the Hill. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Trent Dilks, Legislative Director of DAV of Minnesota, Tom Anderson, the Winona County Veteran Service Officer and Vice President of the Minnesota County Veteran Service Officers, Commissioner Brad Lindsay, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Doug Wortham will be back next week talking about the Minnesota Air National Guard's successful recruiting efforts. That's coming up next week on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week and every week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.